Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We reported it yesterday, just under the wire of a Thai-imposed deadline. Victor Bulakin or Vadim Markovich Aminov. There's some dispute over his name, but there's no dispute over who he is. Victor was flown into New York last night. He's actually going to appear in a federal court. The Drug Enforcement Administration chartered a plane, brought him here to New York. He's going to be charged with selling arms in conflict zones like Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Afghanistan. But that's really only part of the story. He's a global gun runner who has relations all over the world, and his apprehension and extradition to the U.S. raises issues between the U.S. and Russia, as well as conflicts in Africa. David Bamford, the BBC's former West Africa correspondent, joins us from his home in London. David, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, you recall the days in Liberia when this murky figure, Victor Boot, actually was behind the scenes supplying, in many cases, both sides of the conflict. How did you first learn of this character?
In the very early days of the Liberian conflicts, or in fact, it's several Liberian conflicts ago, really, in the very early 90s, Victor Boot was about, 23, 24-year-old by then. He was one of a number of Russian and Ukrainian figures you used to come across every now and again in these different war zones in West Africa. And he came across, like his colleagues, as businessmen doing one deal or another, and for instance, the only way to get into Liberia during that time was on an old Russian plane which used to fly from neighboring Ivory Coast, and the crew was Russian, obviously organized by Victor Boot, and that was the only way in, and everybody depended on that, diplomats and everybody, and that's the role he tended to play in that at that time.
Were you familiar with his aliases? I mean, I see at least six here, and it's part of the actual indictment.
At that time, he wasn't really a known name. He was just a murky figure in the background that you would encounter every now and again when you were staying in a hotel, and nobody was quite sure who he was. He was a young entrepreneurial man, very affable. It was only later on, let's say in the late 90s, when his reputation was developing and he became known by everybody as Victor Boot, and he had disappeared by that time, although his efforts in terms of his cargo planes and everything else were very apparent indeed.
Now, Victor Boot is charged with supplying guns and, you know, crimes against humanity, mostly in Africa. But in some sense, that's a way of avoiding in this trial a confrontation with the Russians, who believe that he's just a regular old businessman involved in the gun running trade, like a lot of folks, including probably some Russians and some Americans.
I think that's the case, and indeed South Africans and the occasional British and American as well. You come across engaged in that enterprise at the time. I think they saw themselves basically as business people working on supply and demand. They're just as, you know, if there was a demand for rice or sugar, they would be just as happy to fly that around as they would arms, for instance. For them, it was just a business deal.
But David Bamford, what does that look like, you know, sort of staring into the eyes of a character like that, who will fly rice on one day, guns the next, ammunition the next, grenades the next, see the consequences of the actions, and yet provide humanitarian relief for the casualties that he himself caused?
Well, I think looking at it from the outside, that's how you could very well see it. But I don't think he and his colleagues saw it that way. They just saw it as a business. And for instance, they were just as happy not only to supply rebels, but also to supply sitting governments with what you might call security apparatus to prevent the rebels taking over their particular capital. So they would argue they were a cause for stability on occasion, not just instability.
Finally, David Bamford, as a former West Africa correspondent, was it your impression that this shadowy character, who we now know as Victor Boot, had extraordinary access to governments, he was able to get into places that even you as a reporter for the BBC possibly didn't have access to?
I think that's absolutely true. Of course, West Africa during the 90s was a very, what you might call, flexible place, and you could just about go anywhere if you had the money to pay for it, or you had the influential characters at the other end to help you out. And in terms of the services he provided, he literally had carte blanche to go anywhere he wanted at any time.
Well, he's in a federal court in the lower Manhattan today and will appear in court in public. We'll get a sense of what his face looks like now finally in the custody of the Americans. David Bamford, BBC former West African correspondent, talking about his memories of Victor Boot, the so-called merchant of death. David Bamford, thanks so much.
You're welcome.